Do y'all remember a couple weeks ago, the Feast of All Saints? Were y'all there? You remember? The baptisms, we had four baptisms, water was flying. What a great Sunday, wasn't it? Can I have an amen? Amen. Do y'all remember the sermon? It was brilliant. It was brilliant, if I do say so myself, and I do. Brilliant. And what we landed on was the divine truth of grace, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Not by works, not by keeping the law, not by trying to be perfect. We are saved by God's desire and Jesus' work on the cross. Therefore, the verdict is in. The verdict on you and your life was declared at your baptism. You are accepted by God. You are forgiven, you are loved, you are seen, you are adored, you are valued. And because of that, we are free. Free from the false expectations of the world, free from that voice in our head that tells us we have to be more, do more, 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 more. We are free to live for an audience of one, seeking only to please Him and glorify Him. Like I said, it was a brilliant sermon. It was. But I needed to go further. I did. I needed to go further. I needed to ask the question, this living for an audience of one, this freedom, this living as an audience for one for Jesus, what does that actually look like in Denver in 2023? Right? What does that look like? Well, Jesus answers that precise question today in our gospel. Thanks, Jesus. Right? In this parable of the servants and the talents. Now, there's a problem with this particular parable, and the problem is it's very familiar to us, right? And it's one of those notorious judgment parables that makes us all cringe a little bit. You all caught that wailing and gnashing of teeth bit, right? Although it is a judgment parable, and I will not dispute that, I would suggest it is also a parable of great joy. Great joy and hope. Because it is actually a roadmap for living in the freedom of God's grace. So, I'll prove my point. Let's jump in. So we've got a master, massive kingdom, who's going on a trip and entrusts great amounts of wealth to his servants. Now, a talent was not a talent as we know a talent. Talent is a measurement of weight. And one talent of gold was a fortune. More money than most people could ever imagine. And two talents was a ridiculous amount of money, and five talents would make Jeff Bezos look like a chump. Okay? That's the kind of money we're talking about. Now, the master just didn't turn over his vast wealth willy-nilly to some unknown knuckleheads. But these were his servants, his most trusted servants, who he knew and trusted deeply. And the fact that he gave different amounts to each servant points to an intimate knowledge of and relationship with each servant. He knows these guys. He knows their talents, their skills. He knows their risk tolerance. He knows their weaknesses, their temptations, their proclivities. And the responsibility that is laid on each servant is thoughtfully discerned by the master and, as the gospel tells us, is suitable for that one. Right? This is not some sort of random lottery. So he hands out the money and says, "See you in a while, boys. Be good stewards." And he's gone. The first two servants, the one with the two and the five talents, they get busy, right? Right off the bat, they start wheeling and dealing, looking for the next opportunity to invest some of this moolah They're invested in agriculture. They're buying fields, vineyards, herds, flocks. They're in textiles, right? Investing in weavers and loom builders. They're in real estate, commercial, residential. They got their fingers in every pie, right? And with every deal, they're expanding the master's kingdom. And I suspect they're collaborating together. They're doing deals together. And they are killing it. But for who? For the master, right? They're doing it for an audience of one. These two servants are like the poster child for this type of living for an audience of one. Well, we all know what comes next, right? The judgment day. Dun, 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 dun. The master comes back and he's going to take an accounting, right? But here's the deal. These two servants, they are not sweating it at all, right? They are as cool as cucumbers, right? Why? Because they know that they have pleased their master. They have done every diligent thing to expand the kingdom. And so they come to the judgment feeling pretty good. And rightly they should. And here's the deal. They were rewarded equally. Equally. Even though the two only made four and the five made ten, which is astronomically more, they both get the same reward. What was the reward? Three aspects of it. One, they get a public affirmation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. And I mean, isn't that on some level what we crave as human beings? We crave it from the world, some sort of validation, some sort of recognition that we matter, that we're seen, that we actually exist. We have value. And here we have the living God saying to his servant, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. What joy, what elation those words must have been for those guys. Right? Second, they're given more responsibility and opportunity. He says, you've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. A few? That's like the understatement of the century. And these servants are going, wait, there's more? There's actually more? And the master says, yeah, I'm going to give you more. And finally, the last reward, and it's actually stunning. The master says, come. A sense of come closer, come in. Come and share in your master's happiness, in his joy. Oh. I mean, they're no longer just servants. They're being drawn into deeper and closer relationship with the master. They're invited to participate in and enjoy the master's joy. And what brings the master joy? The expansion of his kingdom, right? Now, I know what y'all are thinking. Well, that's all well and good, Terry, but I don't think God's going to be dropping $20 million in my lap anytime soon. So what am I supposed to invest in the expansion of God's kingdom? What do I got? Well, I'm so glad you asked, given it's stewardship season and all. Here's the bottom line. We are given three gifts. And with those three gifts, we are given three responsibilities, which all contribute to the expansion of the master's kingdom. The gifts. Number one, you were given life. And with life came time. You were given innate talents and gifts that make you unique and useful. There's nobody in here who willed themselves life, right? Anybody want to take that on? A complete, utter gift, Andy. Second, we were given creation, this place filled with beauty, life, resources, and most importantly, other people. Did any of you will the mountains into existence? The rivers? The resources? Anybody want to take credit for that? I'll wait. And third, the most precious gift of all, we were given the words of life. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of the church. The chief repository of God's gospel to the world, His church and His people. And with those three gifts, there are three responsibilities. Now, for those of you who are business people, three investment opportunities. One, the stewardship of creation. We are to care for this world, not loot it as if it was ours alone, for it's God's. It's His creation. And we get to share it. Two, we have a stewardship of humanity. You are your brother's keeper. God's most precious creation is humanity. And we have a responsibility as the people of God to care for others. That people can have the most basic needs met: food, clean water, a place to live, meaningful and dignified work, and peace and security. Our third responsibility is to share the good news of Jesus with the world through our words, through our actions, through our lives. It is God's desire that everyone comes to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And the chief means through which the gospel is shared with the world is through God's church in its vast diversity across this globe and His people. Listen, there is no other organization on this planet whose main mission is to worship the living God and proclaim Jesus as Lord and make disciples. Not one. The United Way doesn't do it. Frontier Airlines certainly doesn't do it. Jeff Bezos ain't doing it. The only organization on this planet whose mission is to worship the living God and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and make disciples and draw others to God is the church. The kingdom of God is expanding when we accept these gifts, life, creation, and the gospel. And what we produce with our lives, understand that they are gifts from God. And we must use them to be good stewards of creation and each other, and good stewards of the gospel and the church that has been handed off to us for this time in this place. Listen, like these two servants, we are given the chance of a lifetime to participate in God's work, to use the gifts we have been given. The chance of a lifetime for His glory. And like those two servants, we get to choose how we're going to live our lives. Each day we get to choose and should choose who is the master. of our lives and our hearts. Each day, we get to choose to live in ways that we know will please and honor our God and expand His kingdom. But we have to accept these gifts and no longer be in denial about how they came to us and fulfill the responsibilities as His servants. Listen, I know it sounds daunting, but I'm not talking about retooling your whole life, right? Unless you're a mobster or a hedonist. Any mobsters or hedonists among us? Go ahead, put your hand up. Oh, there, Grace. Grace is starting a life as a mobster. Well done, Grace. Doesn't mean the whole retooling of your life. It means a reorientation of your heart. And in that reorientation of your heart, Lionel, our lives follow. It's as simple as living into our baptism intentionally, together, as the church, in the world, investing our lives in those ways which we know and please honor God. And they're right there. We've said them a million times. They're in the baptismal covenant, right? This is not rocket science. We ask this question each time we have a baptism. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? And we say, I will, with God's help. It's right there. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? You have been given invaluable gifts. And as servants, we have a clear responsibility with those gifts. And let me tell you, this is the chance of a lifetime. To share in God's kingdom. To see it expand as others come to know Him, love Him, and serve Him. To share in His joy in this life. Not fully. We get glimpses of it. But we get to participate in it. And in the life to come, we will see it in its fullness. And we pray it each Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we share in that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, that is a great sermon, wasn't it? Wasn't that great? Wasn't that fantastic? No, you don't need to, but you can. You know, it was great because it was challenging, but it was also encouraging. It was hopeful, you know? I'm just going to bask a bit, okay? And you're welcome. But unfortunately, I can't end the sermon here. Now, quit rolling your eyes like some angsty 14-year-old. And to the 14-year-olds among us, you guys do roll your eyes a whole lot. We have to talk about the elephant in the room before we can close this thing up. And y'all know what I'm talking about. That third servant, right? The wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, that guy is a bit of a cautionary tale for all of us. The third guy takes the one talent, digs a hole, and buries it like a dog burying a bone. While the other guys are busting their humps, wheeling and dealing, making the magic happen. The one talent guy. I got to ask the question, Robert. The other guys are wheeling and dealing. What did that guy, the one talent guy, what did he do with his time? Right? What's he doing with all that time? Is he laying on the couch eating bonbons and watching Oprah? Perhaps he took up pickleball. I love pickleball. Maybe a little traveling, got some Botox, working on the tan. I don't know. but he's got a truckload of time. Listen, he chose to bury the money, whittle away his time, doing whatever he liked, ignoring his responsibilities and stewardship, which is great work when you can get it. But here's the problem. The master comes back, and there is an accounting. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew what was expected of you. You saw what the other guys were doing, but you just couldn't be bothered. You spent all that time on yourself, and my kingdom was furthered not one bit. You had examples of the other servants. You could have asked for help, but you did nothing. But take care of yourself. Well, too late. You have missed the chance of a lifetime. Take his talent, give it to a trustworthy servant, and throw this guy in the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A cautionary tale. I'll leave it there. Amen. So, as you know, during this preaching series, I've been hijacking creed, the prayers of the people, and the confession. And for those of you who have really enjoyed this, I'm going to do it again today. For those of you who hate it, this is the last time we're doing it, okay? Everybody happy? Fantastic. So what I'm going to ask is there's going to be a reflection question comes up on the screen, and I'm just going to ask you to get quiet. And reflect on this question for yourself and your life. All right. So this is an opportunity to have a conversation for about 5 minutes around this reflection question. And I want to encourage you to get up, move around, have a conversation with two or three people that you don't live with, that you didn't ride here with, that you don't necessarily know. Get to know some people a little bit better. And I would encourage you to be vulnerable. As I reflected on this question, the two questions for me is self-centeredness and fear. Those are the things that get in my way. All right, everybody up. Move around. Move around. Find somebody you don't live with, don't sleep with, and didn't ride here with. I'm going to invite you to bring your conversations to a close. But here you go. You don't need to end your conversation. Just postpone it until after the service. And then you get a cup of coffee and continue your conversation. Also, we have other reflection questions on our website and at the welcome desk, so we encourage you to keep the conversation going with others or with yourself during this coming week. So let us close with a prayer. The Lord be with you. Let's try it again. The Lord be with you. One more time. The Lord be with you. Lord Jesus, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the gifts you have so lavishly poured out upon us. The gift of life and time. And the gifts and talents that make us unique and useful to you in the world. Thank you for your creation with its beauty and its resources and its grandeur. And thank you for humanity. We thank you also for the gift of the words of life found in the person of Jesus Christ, who died and rose from the dead. Help us to be responsible stewards of these gifts by caring for your creation, caring for one another, and sharing the good news that we are saved by grace through faith in the person of Jesus, that others may come to know you, come to love you, worship, serve, and obey you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.